Happy Monday, folks. The day after Resurrection Sunday. I'm going to keep it short today. Don't have anything political, not much funny. Just some brief stuff today. Welcome to Grounded, the place to hear the salty truth. I'm your host, Scott Cates, coming to you live from the Northeast Georgia mountains and the tiny town of Tiger. We have just celebrated Resurrection Sunday. And today, I just want to read to you an excerpt out of the book of Acts, chapter 2. So I know some of you are on spring break and this week, and some of you may have already had that. But just listen to this as you go into your week, and I'll keep it short. Acts chapter 2. It says this. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came this sound from heaven as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together, and they were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed, and they marveled, and they said to one another, look at these men. Are they not all Galilean? How is it that we hear in our own language, the native tongue in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongues, and they're speaking of the wonderful works of God. So they were all amazed and perplexed, and they said to one another, what could this mean? But there were others, and they were mocking. And they said, they're full of new wine. And then Peter stood up with the 11, and he raised his voice, and he said to them, men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my words. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only the third hour of the day. What's happening here is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he said, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they'll prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth beneath. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming and the great awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord, those will be the ones that shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to God, to you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you also yourselves know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you took by your lawless hands, and you crucified him, and you put him to death. Yet God raised him up, and having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says this concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You've made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. So, men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David. He's dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his body according to the flesh he would raise up to the Christ to sit on his throne, he, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh even see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, and we are all witnesses, including you. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he is now pouring out this which you are now seeing and you are hearing. David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all of the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, in which I speak of, the one whom you crucified. He is both Lord and he is Christ." And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, then what do we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And with many other words he testified and exhorted to them, and he kept saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." And then those who gladly received his word, they were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And those continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. And then fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. And all who believed, they were gathered together, and they had all things in common. And they sold their possessions and their goods, and they divided them among all, as each one had a need. So, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Peter goes on. You get into chapter 3. And you get into verse 18. And he responds to those at that moment. And he says, "These things in which God foretold by the mouth of his prophets that the Christ would suffer, he's fulfilled all of that." And then he looks at them and he says this, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, and so that times of refreshing may come to you from the presence of the Lord." You see, today, it's important. We're coming out of Resurrection Sunday. And what happened within just a few moments of that, and a few days after the ascension of Jesus Christ, if you will? What happened a few days later was the fact that the Lord started the church, and he used the men to do so. They preached a message of good news, that their sins could be forgiven, and they were all about the gospel. Listen to me, they weren't about maintaining big buildings, and they weren't about making sure you had your coffee in your hand on, and they weren't about making sure that it was about luxury and a place that people, if we build it, they will come. They weren't about that. People came because of the gospel. They were lifting up Jesus. And I know, we listen to this podcast. I talk politics a lot. I talk political things. I talk basically headlines, and I do a lot of kidding around. But today I wanted to take a day just to stop for just a second and remind us that as the Church of Jesus Christ, we're about other things than that. We are. It's okay to know the things that are going on. And I think to address those are good. And some of the things that I do, all of what I do usually is for entertainment purposes. But at the same time, at the end of it, it gets serious when it comes down to the gospel. There's not going to be a time that you listen to Grounded that the gospel's not going to come at the end of each broadcast. It's necessary. Is it possible today that the gospel in some places has been just forgotten? We're a bit about our own agendas. Sometimes I wonder. Churches today have become political platforms, you know, entertainment venues, something other than what the church was designed to be. She carries with her the gospel, the Church of Jesus Christ. She carries with her the gospel. She's supposed to be about the gospel. About the message that your sins can be blotted out, that you can live a life filled with times of refreshing in Christ Jesus. That you find the way and the place, the reason why you even exist, it's found in Christ Jesus. There's a plan for your life that's found in Christ Jesus. And when the Spirit of God comes with it, comes into you, at the moment that you accept Jesus Christ as Savior, then you're guided in truth and you're sealed. And you will be with Christ Jesus once you close your eyes in this world. It's a reality. And that's the message. It's the message that the church carries. It's not a message that is taught. It's a message that is preached. And it's preached. It's heralded. I talk headlines at the beginning of most of these episodes. Those are news being heralded, I guess, if you want to call it that today. I'm not so sure that it's always news. But there is good news that's important. And we close the broadcast with the good news. We talk about all the other news, but we talk about the good news. And that is that Jesus Christ stepped out of heaven. He came into this world as a sacrifice for the sins of mankind. He walked on this planet for 33 years. He spent 3 years side by side with men. At the end of it, he went to a cross. They literally crucified him. He shed his blood for their sins. He gave his life for their sins so that they could be freed from their sins and have the ability to walk directly with him. And that when they died in this world, when they literally took their last breath in this world, it would just be a pass, just passing over. Death would pass over them and they would enter into eternal life. That's a powerful thing. And it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was never intended for churches to become these political platforms or entertainment venue. It was intended when Jesus started the church in Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit of God came upon them and the church began, that they would carry the gospel as the good news. And with it, it brought life, abundant life, eternal life, that will only come through Christ Jesus. I don't know. I'm thinking today we just need to let the world handle the politics and the entertainment. And I know I do talk about those things, and those things are entertaining in moments to talk about, for sure. And it's not wrong to talk about those things. But let's not leave out the gospel or omit the gospel. Many conversations recently, and it's important, people, you get in conversations and if you don't want to lie to someone, you just stay silent. Do you realize that sometimes the omission of the truth or staying silent in the truth is just as bad as a lie, if not sometimes even worse? We were not intended to stay silent. That's not what we're called to do. We're called that when the Spirit of God pricks our heart to speak the good news of the gospel to those that we're around. That's what we were set apart to do. So yeah, let the world handle politics and entertainment and everything else. My belief today is that the church needs to get back to the gospel. And she needs to stay steeped in the Word of God. That's just my belief, and that's just who I am, and that's where I think we should be. Someone asked me one time, they said, well, you know, if a person's going to grow a church, what method do you think they should use? My answer has always been, go back to Acts chapter 2 and take a look, because the method began there this way. It will always continue this way, and if you want to see a church grow and you want to see people come to life, and you want to see people be saved, this is how it happens. It's found in Acts chapter 2 and the book of Acts and all throughout the book of Acts, because that is the Spirit of God coming to life in the church as God uses men to carry the gospel to the four corners of the earth. And that's all I have today. Keeping it short, a short message. You've been listening to Grounded. I'm your host, Scott Cates. What does all this mean? Well, according to Peter's message, it means this. Jesus is the Christ. There is no other way but to heaven by Jesus. Then Jesus, you can't get there any other way. There's no other way to have your sins forgiven, none, but by Jesus. He is the only one that died for the sins of mankind. He's the only one that paid the price for that sin debt with God. He's the only way that you have access to the power of the Holy Spirit who moves into your life, that seals your inheritance in heaven and also guides you in all truth day after day. The only way. The question is, will you come to him? Is there a cost? Sure there is. The cost is this, that I no longer will live my life for me and what I want. But I want to live my life for the purposes that I was put here for in Christ Jesus and what he wants. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that means he's in charge of my life. I no longer live my life for me. It's like a knight who literally kneels down and says, I now pledge my entire life to the king. That was the cost. And the king would take care of the knight and tell him what he should do and send him where he should go. But the knight has surrendered his life to the king. The king is now in charge of his life. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, later in Acts it will say, if you believe with all of your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Peter says, repent. That literally means this. Repentance, defined in the very first dictionary that was ever printed, repentance defined is that there is an offense between you and a very, very close friend. And that close friend will not walk with you. They will not speak to you. They will have nothing to do with you. Repentance is the act of coming before that friend and literally falling on your face before them, begging them for forgiveness so that you can once again walk with them and be near them because you want them in your life more than anything else. That is repentance. And when you get up from asking for that forgiveness, that your life will be different and you will no longer do anything within your power to go back and to live those things that offend your friend. You've learned that lesson, if you will, in some ways. That's what repentance is. And so when people talk about turning away from your sin, it simply means that you'll live your life in a way that you will not, you know the things you should not be doing. and you'll do the best you can to refrain from those things. Now, I hear people say all the time that Christianity, all those rules, let me tell you something. To live your life for Jesus and the way that he has literally mapped out, it's a really good life. A life that is surrendered Jesus is to Jesus is a really great life, no matter what everyone else tries to say to you or tell you. And I know you can walk into the doors of a church and find a judgmental people that are at each other's throats a lot and harsh because they're busy at all the other things other than loving God and loving each other and speaking and furthering the gospel, preaching and furthering the gospel. That happens all the time. And the reason why that happens is because the church is not Jesus Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. And she's still in this world with her imperfections, but she is loved and saved by grace because she has faith in Christ. So today, the question is, will you come to Christ? And how do you do that? You stop and say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Everything that stands in the way between you and me, please forgive me. I will do the best I can to walk with you. I will do the best I can to refrain from the things that offend you. Lord, thank you for saving me. Here is my life today. I give it to you. Guide me in truth. Help me to walk well. Pour out into my life, Lord. Help me to live a life of abundance that's in you, not in me, but in you. And thank you for the eternal life that you've given me, that I would be where you are once I close my eyes and take my last breath in this world. Thank you so much for saving me. And that concludes today. If you've not given your life to Jesus, I encourage you to stop where you are and just talk to Jesus and say, forgive me, Lord. Now I am yours. And if you are a believer in Jesus Christ today, be one that's all about the gospel, filled with the Spirit of God, always ready to give an answer for the hope that you have. Love the Lord. Love those around you. Have a great week, folks. I'll see you next Monday.